Two areas, our theme of the month, which is theme of the year, Acts 27 and 31, and then also John chapter 3. So two areas that we're going to be in today. John chapter 3, as we talk about abide in the relationship, and then also Acts 27 and verse number 31. So those are the two areas that we'll be in today. Amen. Acts 31, and the relationship, we find that one here. So this is the ship that we're starting off in right here, relationship. Amen. All right, everybody got John chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, and then we'll end with Acts 27, 31, and 32. Amen. All right, everybody there, say amen. John 3:16, one of the most easiest places to find in many Bibles, amen, and praise God, hopefully it is in yours as well, and going to talk about some things that are very familiar to us, but again, this very first ship is vital to the remaining ships, amen. John chapter 3 and verse number 1, I want you to read with me starting in verse number 1, here we go. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Amen. That is John 3, 1 through 7. And then over in Acts 27 and verse 31. By the way, as familiar as that is to you and I, there are so many millions in the world that do not have a clue as to what born again actually means. Amen. Acts 27 and verse 31 and 32. Let me get a sip of water. Read that with me. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. That is our theme of this year. The banners up front depict that abiding in the ship is the theme. A ship, again, is defined as a vessel used for navigating on the water. As the year progresses, you and I will continue navigating on the sea of life. And at any given time, a storm can arise, and for spiritual and physical safety, we'll need to abide in the ship. The first ship that we're going to talk about today is relationship. It is the most vital of the ships. If you're not in this ship, you don't have eternal life. Preacher, how can you say that? I'm going to talk about it in just a minute. But if you don't have this ship, my friend, you want to get in this ship today. Without this ship, you don't have eternal life. Eternal life is not in a church. It is not in a baptismal pool. It is not in giving. It is in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where it's at. It's in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we'll talk about that more in just a moment. Father, thank you again for the personal relationship that you have enabled me to have with you. And Lord, I pray that not only I, but many others can join in with that sentiment this morning that they have a personal and a vital and a vibrant relationship with you. Lord, you said that without us being born again, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We must be born again. I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl in the sound of my voice today, they would examine their relationship with you to make sure it's more than just a prayer. It's more than just a thought. It's more than just a hope. It's more than just a wish, but it is a vital, vibrant relationship in which they commune with you every day of their lives, Lord. Without this relationship, we cannot be saved. Thank you that it is in the Bible that we must be born again, but yet so few know about it. Lord, help us to not just talk about it, but understand it, know it, be involved in it, and to involve others with it, Lord, that they too may have this vital relationship with thee. We thank you again for loving us. Lord, bless now the children's session. Lord, we do pray that our hearts would be open, attentive, and if there's one today without Christ, they would get into that relationship today. Bless now the message and the song, and then the sermon that will follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Miss Natasha has our special.
I can't get around this time of trial. I wish I could just turn away from the pain. But you said these days would come, and you just keep walking on. So I'll keep clinging to this one thing I'm sure of. Presence is enough to meet every need, and I will find my strength when I place my faith in you, loving shepherd, my hope forever. Even though the darkness and face the light all around me, and the shadows make life so unclear. I will never fear, for you've promised that you'll never leave me. Even now, Lord, I know you are here. And I don't have to wonder if you'll make a way before me. I can trust your word is ever true. Take me through. There is peace beyond all understanding, for my heart has found a resting place, a rock that is pure. Lord, your mercy will
And thank you, Natasha. I'm so glad that God will never, never leave us in the valley. He always takes us through. Amen. Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And I like it says, I walk through the valley. Amen. That means that I may have to pause a little bit. Amen. But I am coming to the other side. Amen. It's through the valley. Amen. It's not to stay in the valley. It is great to know that we're talking about abiding in the ships, and you're not going to stay in one particular ship forever. Amen. You will dock at the port. You will change ships sometimes, and God's design and desire is to take us to the other side. Amen. And I'm so glad that he does that. Amen. And what a blessing it is. And thank you once again, Natasha, for the blessed message and song about the Lord carrying us through. Amen. And talking about the relationship up here, and this is one of many ships that we'll be in. You see, discipleship, fellowship, friendship, stewardship, relationship, workmanship, citizenship, ownership, membership, courtship, censorship, lordship, worship, sonship, companionship, hardship, kinship, and rulership. Amen. And so many ships that we'll be in throughout the year. But none more important than relationship. None more important than relationship. And being born again is about a brand new life, a new relationship with Christ. And before we can ever think about abiding in any of the other spiritual ships in the Christian life, the first concern is making sure that we're abiding in the relationship with Christ. And it is a relationship, you know. I hear a lot of people talking about the man upstairs. To me, he's not the man upstairs. It's like talking about my father and saying the man upstairs. I would never talk about my father like that, amen. He's not the man upstairs. He's my father. Amen. And maybe you call your father the man upstairs. Amen. You know, but I hear people say, well, me and the man upstairs have an agreement. I would never say that about my birth father. Amen. Neither would I say that about my spiritual father. Now, maybe you would. Amen. But I wouldn't. Amen. Folks say the man upstairs, and they talk about, and he knows, and all this. But wait a minute. Let's get a little bit personal with this relationship. Amen. And a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is a new life ship that we ought to be in. It's not a makeover. It's not a fake over. It's not a try over. Not a hope over. It's to be born over. Amen. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Before we get started, let me introduce to you the definition of relationship. Relationship, it means a connection or association by marriage or blood. A connection or association by marriage or blood. It's also the condition or fact of being related or connected with someone. I'll share five things involved in a marriage relationship and a blood relationship to get us in tune to what we're talking about here. And those five things are this. There normally is an introduction in a relationship. Then there's normally information in a relationship. And then there's normally investigation in a relationship, which brings illumination in a relationship, which then ends in an invitation to the relationship. Let me tell you what I'm talking about here with my wife and I and our marriage. Amen. It started with an introduction. Someone had to introduce me to my wife. Her name was Debbie Myskins. I'll never forget it. I saw my wife in the cafeteria and I said, she looks good. And I remember talking to Steve Broadway, which was on this side, and some of my other guys, Greg Parker was on this side. And I said, look, I'm going to go talk to that girl right there. I said, now, y'all back off. I don't want anybody talking to her until I got a chance to talk to her. Once I talk to her, and if she turned me down, y'all got free game. And so I went over there, and I said, Debbie, I said, why don't you introduce me to your friend? And she said, yeah, this is Carmen Dawson. And she said, Greg, this is Carmen. And Carmen, this is Greg. And did I say Carmen Dawson? Oh, yeah, you weren't Carmen Dawson at that time. It was a premonition, amen. In my mind, it was going to happen. It was a done deal already, amen. And so it started with an introduction. And so my wife thought I was a thug. Can you believe that? She thought I was a thug because I had on shades and a hat and things like that. And I kind of walked like this. Hey, Debbie, who's your friend? Now, who could turn somebody down like that? Well, She could turn me down, amen. And so we were introduced, amen. And then the introduction led to some other things. There was a time we were introduced, but then there was some information we shared. I saw her the next day or maybe the same day, and I was over in my dwelling place, and she was walking. I said, "Hey, Carmen, come over here." And she kind of looked at me. "Yeah, you, come over here." And she came over. And we shared information, and we got to talking. We talked for about 3.5 hours. And so the introduction led to information we shared with each other. And the information then turned into investigation. I wanted to know more about the 9 brothers that she had. In case something was going to brew between us, I wanted to know who was going to beat me up first. Amen. And so the information then turned into an investigation. I began to investigate more about her. And the investigation turned into illumination. Something inside me said, "You know what? She's the one. Don't look any further. She's the one." Now, I wasn't saved. But something inside me said, "Buddy, don't let this one go." So the introduction started off and we were introduced, and then the information we shared about each other. Then the investigation turned into illumination. I learned about her. She learned about me. And then the illumination turned to something else. Invitation. "Will you be my wife? Will you marry me?" And she said, "Let me ask my dad first." I thought, "He gonna say no, 'cause he don't know me." But guess what? We got married just the same. Illumination led to an invitation. And we were married. Now, by the way, I didn't do things right. I should have called her dad and asked her dad, which after I got saved and learned the right way, I went back to him and I said, "Dad, I didn't do this the right way. So let me apologize first and let me ask the right way. Can I marry your daughter? Although I'm already married." Amen. And I apologized to him, and he said, "Oh," he said, "you're the best son I could ever have." And I thought, "Well, shucks." And I felt good. Amen. It all started with an introduction. What am I saying? That when you and I get born again, it starts with an introduction. You're introduced to Jesus. That introduction turns to some information. You learn about him. And that information then leads you to an investigation. You learn something about yourself because you get illuminated as to who he is and who you are. And when you get illuminated, guess what? He gives you an invitation. And he says, "Whosoever will, why don't you come?" And my friends, if you didn't have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, your relationship may not have gone exactly like that. But let me tell you something. If you're not born again, you're not saved. Amen. Preacher, I don't like that. You don't have to like it. It's scripture. It's scripture. And so I want to share those 5 things today, because those 5 things is exactly what Nicodemus went through. And I'm going to step right down through the scriptures here, because we know this area pretty good here. But just want to give you some clarity as to what this relationship is all about, because there's a lot of confusion out there. A lot of people think that you can be saved by going to church, by being a good person, by being baptized, by giving money, by laying hands on someone. And folks, none of those are Bible. Amen. None of them are Bible. A relationship with Christ is similar to my meeting my wife, with an introduction, with the information, with the investigation, with the illumination, and down to the invitation. Amen. And by the way, I have a relationship with my wife now by marriage, but also have a relationship with my mother and father by blood. And you and I need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ through his blood. And it's a spiritual relationship. By the way, it is vibrant. It is one that you talk to him and he talks to you by his word. Amen. So let's start off, first of all, tell you a little bit about John. John's gospel is written to all the world, with all the world in mind, depicts Jesus Christ as the Son of God, emphasizing his deity, that he is God. The words "believe" and "life" are used more in John's gospel than all 3 gospels put together. Figure that one out. It's written more times. The word "believe" and "life" are used more in John's gospel than the rest of the gospels put together, emphasizing the need for a born again relationship in Christ. So let's notice, first of all, the introduction before the second birth relationship. The introduction before the second birth relationship. Notice verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Three things stick out here. First of all, Nicodemus was a religious ruler. He was a Pharisee. Pharisee means he's the strictest and most influential group of the Jews in politics and religion during the time of Jesus. Amen. He was the top of the top. Amen. These were the leaders. You had the Pharisees, you had the Sadducees, you had the scribes. Amen. These were religious leaders. The Pharisees were pretty much at the top and the most influential. When it came to politics, they opposed Roman rule. In religion, they adhered strictly to the letter of the law, but departed from the spirit. They studied the Old Testament and were determined to keep every rule in it. They believed in a resurrection, a future reward or punishment, and divine providence. But they also maintained that there was an oral tradition by Moses that went down that was equal to the law, putting people in bondage. That was not true. That was not true. They put more emphasis on keeping rules than on loving people. And if we're not careful, sometimes as fundamentalists, we can get the same way. It's more important for you to keep the rules than love people. Amen. By the way, little old lady breaks down. We can say, well, my rules say I'm not supposed to be with a lady by myself. And so I'm not going to help the little old lady change her tire. Come on now. Come on now. Are rules more important than loving people? No. I need to love people, but my love of the people helps me with the rules. Amen. And so there's got to be a balance. They didn't have that balance. They loved the law, but they did not love people. And you and I cannot be involved in Christianity and we're not going to love people. Amen. And so Nicodemus was religious. He was a Pharisee, but he also was a ruler. Bible says he's a ruler of the Jews. He had position. But then he thought Jesus was a rabbi. Notice down there, verse number 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He thought Jesus was a rabbi. The definition of rabbi is this. It means my master. Or it's a respectful term used for a teacher of the Old Testament. Jesus was much more than a teacher come from God. He was God come to teach. Amen. As it is. Amen. And notice what it says down here. I like the way Jesus does this. Notice towards the bottom, it says that no man, this is Nicodemus, no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And notice that. Nicodemus said, you know what? Except God be with you, you couldn't do any of these miracles. That's pretty powerful. But notice how Jesus comes back. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus turned that thing right around. He basically said, you know, if God would, nobody can do that except God be with him. And Jesus came back and said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. And so you may say what you want to say about me, and I can't do this except God be with me. Let me tell you something about you. You can't get to heaven except you're born again. Amen. Amen. He put him on his spot. He put him in his place. He said, look, you think that God is with me. I am more than God. I am God. Amen. And so God is with me because I am God. But you cannot see the kingdom of God except you be born again. Amen. I like that. He turned the tables on him. Amen. And so he thought he was a rabbi. Amen. He thought he was a teacher come from God. Nicodemus was misinformed of who Jesus really was and came for a closer look because he came by night. Notice what it says. The same came to Jesus by night. Why not come during the daytime? Because of the crowd that he hung with, the Jews. The Jews didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. Why? Jesus loved people. And what did they love? They loved the law. But guess what? Jesus loved the law too. But he loved people as well. The religious leaders, they loved the law above the people. Amen. And Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. So Nicodemus was introduced before the second birth relationship. He was aroused and curious and came to Jesus by night. So we see the introduction here before the second birth relationship. But then notice, second of all, the information concerning the second birth relationship. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let me read you something that I read just a couple days ago. It tickled my heart about the new birth relationship. And it's a commentary on John 3:3. And it says this. Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus that there is more to having a right relationship with God than being born physically a Jew. Amen. By the way, just because you're born in a pastor's family or a deacon's family or a Sunday school teacher's family or a bus driver's family or a Christian family doesn't make you a Christian. Amen. Some people think that, well, my dad's a preacher, so I must be a preacher. Now I must be saved. Since when? Amen. There is another whole aspect. There has to be a new birth. That is regeneration. The new birth is not physical. Rather, it's spiritual. It must come by the Spirit of God. Without this new birth, a person does not have a right relationship with God and therefore cannot have eternal life. Nicodemus was one of the highest ranking Pharisees here, and yet his religiosity was not enough to make him right with God. The spiritual aspect was missing and had to be supplied before he could have fellowship with God. All people must be spiritually reborn in order to have a true relationship with God. Formally correct religion is not sufficient. There must be regeneration, a rebirth into God's family by the Spirit of God. In other words, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God. So the information concerning the second birth relationship, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So much like I was introduced to Carmen, Nicodemus was introduced to Jesus. And much like I got information from Carmen, now Jesus is about to give some information to Nicodemus to understand who he is. He said, look, except you're born again, you can't make it. Jesus had to reveal some information to Nicodemus about his real need. It wasn't about his teachings and nor his miracles, but about being born again. Jesus cut to the chase and got to the heart of the matter. It's not about questioning what Jesus is doing about being coming from God, but where Nicodemus was going, or at this point where he's not going. And where is that? Heaven. He said, hey, nobody can do these miracles that you do except God be with them. Jesus said, except you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. So it's not so much about what Jesus is doing, but about where Nicodemus is going. By the way, Jesus did a lot of things. But it's not so much about what Jesus is doing as it is to where you and I are going. Amen. And where we're going matters if we don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Why? We must be born again. There's the introduction that needs to happen. Somebody had to tell you about Jesus. Then there's the information. You had to learn that he is the Son of God. He is God Almighty. He is not one of many gods. He is the God, the one and only God, manifested in the flesh for you and I. Amen. A lot of people say, well, he's one of many gods. No. He is the God. He is the one and true God. He's Jehovah God. And so the information, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But then that leads to the investigation concerning the second birth relationship. The introduction is over. The information is given, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But then the investigation concerning the second birth. Notice verse 4. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? The investigation. Nicodemus started with investigation type questions. By the way, so did I. When it came time for me to get saved, I said, now you mean to tell me my baptism is no good? You mean to tell me I was sprinkled Catholic? That's no good. You mean to tell me that I took communion and that's no good? Or you mean to tell me that I prayed and that's no good? You mean to tell me that my name is on the church roll as a member and that's no good? You mean to tell me that all this stuff that I did is no good? And the individual said, it's good, but it's not good to get you into heaven. Amen. Investigation. Nicodemus says, how can this be? You're talking about being born again. How can this be? When I'm old already, can I enter the second time in my mother's womb and be born? Now, he knows that's impossible. But he's talking to Jesus, the master teacher. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The investigative questions start. Let me read you something very important. Keep this thought in mind. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Listen to what I say. You do not become a Christian by asking Jesus into your heart. Y'all looking, amen. You don't become a Christian by, nowhere in the Bible do you find ask Jesus in your heart. You don't find that. You become a Christian when you're born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Saying a prayer or making a public commitment or signing a decision card will not save you, nor will it save me. Only being born again will do that. Preacher, why do you say that? The child does not birth itself. The parent gives birth to the child. Similarly and spiritually, we can't birth ourselves. God Almighty gives us birth by helping us to be born again. So the prayer is not what saves you. It's being born again which saves you, and that's something that God does for you. Amen. Y'all looking at me strange. A lot of the folks are confused on this issue. We must be born again or born from above, not below, and God does the birthing. You don't give birth to yourself. Amen. So just saying a prayer doesn't save you. Jesus didn't say a prayer. He said, except a man be born again. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives the birth. We just do the believing. He does the birthing. Amen. Y'all still got that look. I'm trying to stir your emotions. I'm trying to get you aroused like Nicodemus was aroused to investigate this thing a little bit more, to figure out, do I really have what I think I have? Because I'm afraid that so many churches around the world are filled with people that never have been born again. I'm just being honest. They've never been born again because they tried to birth themselves, and you can't give birth to yourself. God Almighty does that. He said, except a man be born again, born from above. And so with this introduction and with this information concerning the second birth relationship, the investigation concerning this relationship begins to start. He begins to ask questions, much like I asked Mrs. Dawson. Where were you born? How were you, where were you born? Who are your brothers and your sisters? Where your dad? Who are you? Where did you come from? What are you made up of? Say, preacher, why you ask all that? Because she obviously wasn't from like me. We were different. Her eyes were different. So I knew there had to be something in her makeup. And so I began to ask, who's your dad? Well, my dad's Puerto Rican. Who's your mama? My mom's black. And I thought, oh, okay, now I understand why you're fair-skinned. What happened? Investigation. Some things had to come into play. So Nicodemus started with investigation type questions, but then the illumination concerning the second birth relationship. By the way, folks, God has got to illuminate you and I by the Spirit of God. He has got to illuminate us. We've got to understand. You don't just go in and get introduced and then get a little bit of information and say, well, I'm saved. It doesn't work that way. People say, well, it burdens my heart. Just talked to someone recently. Well, you know, I think there was a misunderstanding. I was always saved. No, you weren't. Well, I was raised in a Christian home and I've always known Jesus. No, you didn't. You are confused, and my heart burns for people like that because I was the same way. I was introduced. I had some information. I thought I knew it all. But I wasn't illuminated. The investigation led to illumination. And Jesus explained the second birth relationship, first of all, in maternal terms. Notice what he says down there in verse number 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus, in maternal terms, is explaining to Nicodemus and illuminating him on the fact that you've got to be born the first time physically. He said, born of water, born from the mother's amniotic sac, the fluid that the baby is in. You got to be born, first of all, of water. And then you've got to be born of spirit from above. He said, unless you're born the first time and then born the second time, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So he uses some maternal terms to express this. Notice what he says in verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. He said, you're born the first time. But then that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, born of the Holy Spirit, is spiritual. He says, wait a minute, you got to be born of flesh first. That which is flesh. But then the second time when you're born of the Holy Spirit of God, you're born from above, and that makes you spiritual. Without that, you just got an unregenerate spirit. And so maternal terms are used to explain the second birth relationship. And Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. He said, do you get it, Nicodemus? You must be born again. He explained it in maternal terms, illumination. But then Nicodemus obviously didn't get it. So Jesus tried natural terms. Notice down there in verse number 8. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. In other words, he said, you know, the wind blows out there, and you can hear the wind, but you can't see the wind. He says, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of spirit. He said, the wind blows and it goes where it wants to go. He said, you don't know where it's coming from or where it's going to unless you have some devices to measure it, but you cannot see it. He said, you can't see the Holy Spirit either. And he said, someone can be born again just like that. By the way, the day I got saved was February 3rd, 1991. And the Spirit blew on my wife and I and gave us an introduction and gave us some information which led us to do some investigation in our seats, which brought on some illumination. And as the illuminating winds of the Spirit of God blew in that auditorium, we were the only two that got saved that day. Were there others that needed to get saved? I'm sure there were, but we were the only two that the wind blew in our direction. And maybe others, the wind blew in their direction, but they weren't moved by it. They didn't get saved. They didn't make a profession. They didn't ask Jesus Christ to save their souls. They didn't confess their sins. Why? It goes where it wants to go, and you don't know who's going to get saved next. Amen. That's why we knock on doors. You know why? Because we don't know who's going to get saved next. Any door, it could be the next person that might get saved. That's why we go. That's why we knock. That's why we visit. He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. Whither it goes, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You don't know what's going to happen. By the way, I did not make plans to get saved on February 3rd, 1991. You look at my calendar right now, I've got the whole year planned out. I might not even make it to the end of the year. But guess what? I got it planned out. One thing that I didn't have on my calendar, go to church February 3rd, 1991. Make sure you sit down in that front seat right down there. Make sure your wife is next to you. And make sure you sit up straight and listen to the preacher. And make sure when the invitation comes, you get saved. That wasn't on my list. You know why? I didn't plan on getting saved. I wasn't illuminated. I didn't have the investigation. I didn't have the information. Neither was I introduced properly. Oh, yes, I was introduced. I knew of Jesus. Yes, I had some information, and I thought that was the information that was going to save me. I prayed a prayer. I read my Bible. I went to church. I gave money. I was baptized. They even asked me, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And I said, yes. They asked me, do you believe God reigns from the dead? I said, yes. You know, they said, amen, you can get baptized. I thought I was good to go. I joined the church. I sang in the choir. Woo. I was going with them, had my little robe on and everything. Y'all can imagine me in a robe, can y'all? Yeah. I had my robe, boy. Hey, we was Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church, boy. We was up there. Oh, we had the drums over there, boy. We get busy. We was up there doing all that stuff, amen. And then when kind of the preaching came up, we were like this. We was all tired from our partying up here in the choir loft. We was tired. We were wild. The preaching came. Boy, deacons were asleep. Amen. Assistant preachers were asleep over there. Amen. Only ones awake was the nurses in case somebody fell out. Hey, I thought I had it. I thought I had the introduction. I thought I had the information. I thought I had the investigation. But the illumination wasn't there. The illumination wasn't there. And so Jesus explained it in maternal terms, and he switched to natural terms. And Nicodemus obviously still didn't understand that the Spirit of God is not seen, but the effects of it are noticeable like the wind. Notice verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? He said, you're a teacher, you're a ruler of the Jews, and you don't know these things? He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? He said, I've told you about the maternal terms, and you don't understand that. I've told you the natural terms, you don't understand that. And so Jesus begins to change gears with Nicodemus to arouse him. And I believe by with all my heart that this is in the Bible for you and I. It's not for Jesus' sake. And it's not so much for Nicodemus' sake, although it's going to help Nicodemus. It's there because God knew that down through the ages there would be religious people like Nicodemus that don't have a clue, that got a little bit of introduction, have a little bit of information, that think they've got some investigation, think they've got some illumination, and they're just as lost. Like I was. All the religion, but not righteous in a personal relationship at all. And so Jesus says, okay, maternal terms have been used, natural terms have been used. Let's go to some Old Testament terms. You're a religious leader, you're a ruler of the Jews, and so I know you know Old Testament. And as a Pharisee, Nicodemus would know Old Testament. Notice what he says down there in verse number 13. He says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He says, you know what? Let's take you back to the Old Testament. So hold your fingers there and go back to Numbers 21, because this is exactly what Jesus did to Nicodemus. Took him back to the Old Testament, which Nicodemus would know the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 21. He used Old Testament terms as a Pharisee to take Nicodemus back. And he knows this serpent situation, Moses lifting him up. And the Lord Jesus wanted to give Nicodemus a mental picture of why Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, to give him an understanding of the second birth relationship. And notice starting in verse number 5 here. Matter of fact, verse number 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor. This is the children of Israel with Moses. They journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. They didn't like that way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. They said, look, no bread here, there's no water. All we got is this manna. We don't like that stuff. This is manna. I mean, this is bread, the light bread. Who wants that? And verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. And they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. And so Jesus said, let's take you back to some Old Testament terms. Remember the serpent that Moses put on the staff and lifted it up? Let's take you back there, Nicodemus, because the same way Moses lifted up the staff back there, and the same way these people were in sin, the same way you're in sin right now, the same way you're in bondage right now. And if you don't look to Jesus, if you don't look to me, if you don't look to the Son of Man, the same thing is going to happen to you. Notice what he says down there in verse number 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against thee. What happened? The illumination came. They said, we did wrong. What am I saying? When you're introduced to Jesus and you learn some information about Jesus and you investigate Jesus, it will illuminate you to see that you're a sinner. And he is holy. And he is just in his punishment towards you. And that's exactly what's going on here. They had sinned against God. They were illuminated to see their sin. And they called out who they had sinned against. They sinned against God. And they sinned against Moses. Notice what he says down there. Verse 7, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. By the way, until you get broken over your sin, until you see God in his holiness and God in his righteousness and you in your unrighteousness, my friend, you cannot be saved and you cannot illuminate yourself. You cannot educate yourself to feel that the Spirit of God has got to press upon you to show you the holiness of God, to show you the sinlessness of Jesus, to show that he died for you, to show that he was crucified for you, to show that he was buried for you. The Spirit of God's got to do that. You cannot see that on your own. They couldn't see this on their own until God manifested their sin to them by these serpents biting them. And they said, oh boy, we sinned. Before that, they don't have any problem with speaking against Moses. But then God illuminated them by allowing these serpents to bite them. And they said, hey, look, we're in trouble. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, verse 8, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass, notice this, that everyone that is bitten, by the way, all of us are bitten with sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death.
were bitten by sin. Everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, guess what? He lived. He lived. So Jesus said, I spoke to you in maternal terms. You didn't understand. I spoke to you in natural terms. You didn't understand. Take you back to Old Testament terms. I know you understand now. Go back to John chapter 3. They looked to the serpent by faith, and they lived if they were bitten. If someone didn't look in faith, guess what happened? They died. John chapter 3. After giving Nicodemus the Old Testament terms about them speaking against God and God sending judgment of fiery serpents and them seeing their sin and confessing that they have sinned and them getting instructions to look and live. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he had made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we, that's us, may be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Those sinners who believed, they looked and they lived. And if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld, he lived. Jesus then comes back to the New Testament term, verse 14. Let's pick it up there. He says, and notice this, as Moses, what is that? It's a simile. He's saying in the same way that Moses lifted up the serpent back there and that illustration back in the Old Testament, that simile, that same way as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so, notice this, must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus used Old Testament biblical terms to get Nicodemus to realize the future New Testament term of being born again, and the view of the cross of Calvary was faith in Christ. It's not about a prayer. It's not about joining a church. It's not about being good. It's not about anything that you and I could do, but it's about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about taking your faith and your confidence in the same way this platform would hold me up, putting your confidence and your faith and putting everything in Christ, nothing in the church, nothing in the offering plate, nothing in the baptismal waters, nothing in the membership role, nothing in my own righteousness, nothing in trying to be as good as I can, nothing in trying to be as kind as I can. It's all in Christ. Why? He is the perfect one who died for our sins, and it's got to be in him. And my friend, so many people miss the simplicity of that. Born again is being born from above. God births us into his Son when we confess our sins, just like they did in the Old Testament. He saves us. All who look to Jesus by faith receive eternal life and a new relationship with Christ. That illumination then brings the invitation concerning the second birth relationship. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you. God loved the world. God gave for you. He gave his only begotten Son. God will forgive you. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, and God will save you, have everlasting life. You know, with an invitation, my wife had two choices when I asked her to marry me: to receive my invitation or to reject my invitation. Guess what? When it comes to Christ and his invitation, you and I have two choices. You're going to receive the invitation or you're going to reject the invitation. Your righteousness will do you no good. My righteousness, singing in the choir and doing all that, didn't do me any good. I can't birth myself. God had to birth me from above by the Spirit of God. God sent not his Son into the world, verse 17, to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God is doing the saving. God is doing the birthing. It's not something that we do. So many people get it wrong. They think it depends on them. Peter says it clearly. We're born again, not with corruptible things, but by his blood we're born again. and we're kept by the power of God. If he can birth us, he keeps us. And so many people are living on prayers and hopes and wishes when the Bible clearly says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. How do I get him? I ask him to save me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so the Bible is clear here. He says, you've got to understand there's some illumination. You're going to perish from your sins. But whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I've got to turn from my own righteousness and turn to his righteousness. Folks, the hardest thing for me was to turn from my own righteousness because I thought there was something good in me that I could do. But there was nothing that I could do. I had tried everything. What else could I do? And there are some people that still think there's something they can do. The Bible is clear. He says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again. There's another exception too, he said. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That means I was trusting my own way. I had to turn my back on that way. And I had to say, there is another way. This way is sending me to hell. And when the question was put to me, do you want to go to heaven? I said, I sure don't want to go to hell. That's a dumb question. I may not be the smartest cookie in the bunch. But I know hell is hot and hell is real. And I had to repent. I had to turn from that which I knew and that which I was trusting in and that which one day I was probably going to give up, I thought. And I had to turn my back on and say, I don't know about this. I know where it's taking me. And I don't know if I can stop all of this stuff. But you know what? I'm going to look to the one who said he'll save me. And that information that I got from that introduction and this investigation when I began to look closer at who you are and that illumination as to who I am and I don't like what I see, you're giving me an invitation with open arms. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He said, you open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and him with me. And the invitation I received. On February 3rd, 1991, I was born again. January 14th, 1984, I was married to this beautiful young lady here because she received my invitation. But I received Jesus' invitation February 3rd, 1991, when he extended it to me. He said, maternal terms you understand. Natural terms you understand. Old Testament terms you understand. New Testament terms you understand. You receive me, you'll have eternal life. You reject me, you won't have eternal life. Notice what he says down in verse number 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. John 3:36, skip all the way down to the end of the chapter. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You can only get saved if the Spirit of God illuminates you to the point where you know that's you. I can't make that illumination possible. I can't come down and force you into believing on Christ. That illumination only comes through the Spirit of God. Nicodemus was confused about some things, and so he came to Jesus by night. And Jesus said, let me clear up the confusion. Let's take you all the way back to the serpent. Understand what happened there. Understand how they confessed. Understand how they repented. Understand how they looked. Understand how they lived. And you do likewise, Nicodemus. understand who you are through the illumination of the Spirit of God. Understand you're a sinner. Understand that I am the Son of God. I'm going to die for you, and you must believe on me. Nicodemus, if you don't believe on me, you're condemned already. I think the message got through because you'll see Nicodemus standing up for Jesus later on in the chapter. He may not have been the strongest Christian, but he was a believer. I don't know about you today, but this is the most important ship that you will set sail in this year. And if you're not in that ship, the other ships don't matter. Because at any given time, the wrath of God is abiding on you. And if that ship goes down, you will go down as well. But God loves you too much. He didn't want that to happen to you. As vile of a sinner as I was, Jesus loved me. And he wanted to save me. And he loves you. He wants to save you. And can you imagine this? He wants to talk to you every day. He wants to fellowship with you every day. He wants to commune with you every day. He wants to hear about you every day. And he wants to guide you every day. How about your relationship with Christ? Has there been an introduction to Jesus in the second birth for relationship? Has there been that information that we talked about concerning Jesus in the second birth relationship? Has there been some investigation on your part? Have you investigated him? He doesn't need to investigate you. He already knows you. You need to investigate him. I wanted to make sure that he was the real deal that I was believing in. I had religion. I had every kind of religion you can think of. And I thought, what makes this any different? And I investigated and I found out it has a living person at the center of that relationship. His name is Jesus. And he is no longer in the tomb. He died for my sins. And that illumination came on me by the Spirit of God. And I was a fool to pass it up. He gave me an invitation. And I said, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Save my wicked soul. I don't want hell. I want heaven. And guess what? February 3rd, 1991, he saved me. And he'll do the same thing for you. I do trust today. If you're not in a relationship, get in it today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Father, bless now these next moments of invitation. Lord, that your will may be done. Thank you for loving me, and thank you for loving those that are here. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. What about your relationship with Christ? How many would say beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know I've been born again. I have this second birth relationship in Christ settled. I know I've been born again. I'm not talking about asking Jesus in the heart. How many have this relationship in Christ settled? Raise your hand if you've got it settled. I've got it settled. I've been born again. I've been born again. I've got it settled. I'm not talking about a prayer. I'm talking about a living, vital relationship with Christ. Amen. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. You may put them down. By raising your hand, you say, I know I'm saved. I know I'm a new creation in Christ. I can go back to the day that I received Christ. It's not my baptism. It's not joining a church. It's not communion. I repented and turned from sin to the Savior. My life shows it. Then how many would say, preacher, I've never been born again. I'm like Nicodemus. I'm a bit unsure. I'm a little bit confused about all this. And I need a little bit more illumination and revelation so I can be 100% sure. Would you pray for me, preacher? Anyone like that at all? Just want to pray for you today. You don't have to come forward. Just want to pray for you. Just raise your hand. Want to pray for you. I'm not 100% sure that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I'm concerned about it. I'm concerned. Want to pray for you today. Folks, this is the most vital ship that you can be in. And lastly, how many will say, preacher, God spoke to my heart today about some things I need to pay closer attention to in my life, maybe with the introduction to Jesus and his word, maybe some information about Jesus and his word, maybe more investigation I need to know to do about Jesus and his word, maybe some illumination I need on a situation or a circumstance. And there's some things that I need to take care of today. And preacher, pray that I can get those things taken care of. You raise your hand. Pray for me, preacher. God spoke to my heart in a special way today. Some things I need to take care of. Some illumination, maybe some information. Amen. Amen. Hands going up all over you. You may put them down. Father, bless down these next few moments of invitation and give us what we'll need to follow you in spirit and in truth. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand to our feet. Mrs. Dawson, if you could come to the piano and play us a quick hymn of invitation. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, there's no one looking around. God spoke in your heart, why don't you move? Maybe you say, preacher, you know, that introduction, I remember it like yesterday about Jesus. The information I got, I remember it like yesterday. That investigation that I did, I remember it like it yesterday. Jesus explained those maternal terms and natural terms to me, the Old Testament terms, New Testament terms, whatever it is. I remember it like yesterday, and thank God I'm saved. Thank God I'm saved. As the music plays, why don't you step forward and pray? Maybe you need someone to take you and show you how you can be born again. Why don't you let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved? Again, this is the most important relationship. This is the most important ship that you can be in. Oh, don't leave here thinking that you're saved like I did so many times, going to church, thinking that I was okay, singing in the choir, giving money, reading my Bible, praying, but I had never, ever had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, I talked to him in prayer, but I didn't hear him talking back to me. Illumination had to take place with the information that I received and the introduction that I had. Investigation on my part had to take place. And the Spirit of God showed me who I was and what I needed. And I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins and to save me. Why? He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. But I'm so glad God loves me and he loves you. And he wants to save you just the same way he saved me. Perhaps you need to come and get in that relationship. The first and most important ship. And yes, this ship is for children as well. Maybe you're a young person. You say, well, preacher, I'm counting on my parents' salvation. You can't count on your parents' salvation. I'm counting on my parents' ship. You can't count on your parents' ship. You've got to have your own personal relationship. Well, I thought if my parents were saved, that automatically covered me. No, it doesn't automatically cover you. You've got to make a decision for Christ. You've got to be saved. Young Sierra, Sienna came over to the Patch Club and got some introduction to Jesus, got some information about Jesus, had a little investigation about Jesus. Before long, had some illumination from the Spirit. And the Spirit invited her to get saved, and she got saved. But she can't get saved for her sisters. She can't get saved for her mother or father. And neither can you get saved for someone else. Maybe God's calling you to a specific place of ministry. Would you answer the call? The invitation is there. Whosoever. God wants to use us all. Maybe there's a Nicodemus that you know at your workplace, maybe in your school, maybe in your family, maybe in your neighborhood, there's a Nicodemus there. Maybe they'll come to you by night and you'll have to give them some introduction, some information, maybe some investigation, some illumination, which might lead to another invitation. They might be saved. Father, thank you so much for Nicodemus. Thank you that John 3 is in the Bible. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God has made it crystal clear. It's not about a prayer, but it's about a condition of our hearts. It's about a turning from sin and a turning to the Savior. It's about asking the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us and to pardon our sin because it's been paid for on the cross of Calvary. It's about receiving Christ and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and putting our faith and confidence and trust in Him. Lord, I pray that no one will leave today with confusion on this area like Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, did. I thank you that he got it settled. Thank you, February 3rd, 1991. I got it settled as well by being introduced. Getting some information, doing some investigation, getting some illumination, and then finally receiving the invitation to get saved. And Lord, I pray that there will be no one here that would leave without that invitation today. Trouble their hearts, their souls, Spirit of God. Enable them to see where they stand before a holy God and before Judgment Day. And Lord, I pray the blood of the Lamb would be upon their lives and upon their hearts. Thank you for loving us, Lord. A work in our midst, and thank you for these that have joined today to hear the word of God as we start off with abiding in the relationship and what a vital ship it is in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor White's going to come with our closing announcements. Don't forget, tonight we are recognizing our ministers and our servants, and I ask you to make sure you're being back tonight, be in your place. Amen. Hebrews says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. There'll be some refreshments afterwards as we recognize our ministers and our servants. Pastor White's going to be preaching as well. Amen. And he's going to be brief. Amen. And we'll get into food.